Good morning again. I invite you to take your Bibles this morning and open to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to be looking this morning at verses 11 through 16. Verses 11 through 16. Many of you asked how my race went yesterday. All you need to know is Heather Littweiler beat me. But Heather's good. Like, I'm not, no, that, it was an enjoyable day. I survived. In case you're in any worry that I might become a professional triathlete, you can put those fears away, okay? But thank you, many of you, for asking and for praying. I appreciate that. Hopefully you noticed in your bulletin on the pastor's pen, with this being the first Sunday in May, we make a concentrated push here these first few weeks of collecting for our camp scholarship fund. Iowa Regular Baptist Camp is 52 acres up on Clear Lake in Clear Lake, Iowa. And this is the camp that we have been a part of since its beginning and have a connection to through many different ways. And many of you have been blessed through its ministry over the years. Of course, our children are blessed, junior age kids, junior hires, high schoolers, many of you as family campers, senior retreat individuals, and it's a great blessing. And so we want every kid to have the opportunity to go to camp if they'd like to. And so parents, we encourage you to give the money for the registration fee to the Camp Scholarship Fund. If you don't have kids and would like to support kids going to camp, we ask that you would give to that. Just clearly designate on your check, on your envelope. There's a drop-down box you can give online, and online you can select Camp Scholarship as well. And so we want our kids to go to camp, and looking forward to what God is going to do this summer through the ministry there. So we're going to highlight that the next few weeks and encourage you to give to that then. If you found your way to 1 Timothy 4, let's pray, and then I'll read our passage by way of introduction. Father, thank you this morning as we've sung of Jesus, Lord, that he has paid it all. And Lord, that through him, we dwell together in unity. Lord, through the gospel, we are joined together as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we are joint heirs with Christ. Lord, that we have an inheritance that's kept for us, unfading, incorruptible. Lord, no matter what happens in the world around us, we have a hope for the future. And Lord, as we think of that, may that motivate us to live differently now. Lord, because of the end, because of the far, we live differently in the near. And Lord, help us to do that as we seek to submit ourselves to your word, to the leading of your spirit. Lord, that we would seek to pursue Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. Paul writes, he says, "Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so you will save both yourself and your hearers." Setting an example, right? Setting an example. It's something that we have all been told, or perhaps we have witnessed, or we ourselves have looked to someone who is setting an example. And we do this in various ways. You can see it perhaps in your parents as you've learned from them, or perhaps someone that you respect greatly. Perhaps it's at a job where you've been given a task and you're not quite sure how to complete it, but yet somebody is more experienced there and they show you the ropes. They teach you the tips and tricks of the trade. They set an example. Following how to do something. I'm realizing that more and more, especially with Ezra. He got the itch yesterday. I was in no mood for mowing the lawn after my race, but Ezra was. He has this section of the yard that he mows, that when he does that, he gets a little bit of cash money, and so that's always motivating. But he said, I want to mow. It was a nice day. Okay, so I got out, and I said, I'm going to teach you how to get the mower ready, to make sure there's enough gas, to make sure things are cleaned off, you know, to prime it, to pull the choke, to use all the muscles that you may or may not have to get it started. He still needs a little help with that. But I said, do this, you know, follow this, remember this. And as I was doing that, I can remember my dad telling me to do the same exact things. Setting an example, a pattern to follow. And we all do this. We do it in various ways. Some patterns are worthwhile in following. Some patterns are not worthwhile. But as a good servant of Jesus Christ, the expectation is that we are to set an example. Particularly here in 1 Timothy 4, Paul is writing to Timothy, who is in an official ministry position. He is a pastor. And so the direct application, again, is to Pastor James and I. And you all just get to listen in. But the broader application is for all of us who desire to be a good servant of Jesus Christ. That the truths reflected here, yes, are for ministers of the gospel in an official sense, but truly for all believers. We are to set an example. Our big idea this morning is this, is that good servants of Jesus Christ set an example for those who believe. Good servants of Jesus Christ. Somebody, as it says in verse 6, who is a good servant of Jesus Christ, somebody who desires to be a true follower, will set an example, particularly for those who believe. You can set an example in certain ways for all people, but there are certain aspects of the pattern we set which will seem backwards to unbelievers. Whereas to those who know Christ, they will make sense. This section of 1 Timothy is filled with several imperatives or commands. Paul kind of has a machine gun here. He's like, do this, do this, do this, do this. Just one after another. But the broader idea of this is that these are clear commands for setting an example of what Timothy's life should look like, what his ministry should look like. So this section highlights of what a pastor's life should look like, what his motivation is to be, and why it is important in the life of the church, and we'll think by way of application for all believers. So let's look here and see how a good servant of Jesus Christ sets an example. So how they do this. First off, they set a good example by how they live. By how they live. Verse 11, Paul says, command and teach these things. What are these things? What is this referring to? More than likely, it's referring to the previous section of warning, of pursuing godliness, of training yourself, of pursuing eternal things. So as Timothy is supposed to do these things, he's also to teach others. So we see here these commands for an individual in vocational ministry are things that are to be taught to all people. That there's value in pursuing eternal things, of pursuing godliness, of training yourself for godliness. Paul says, command and teach these things. These things being this pattern of life. And we get to the main imperative here in verse 12, where Paul says, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Set an example. This idea of setting an example is a pattern to follow. It's a course of action that should be out in the lead. It's a path to follow. Think of it like this. You start a puzzle. And as you get the puzzle pieces out and flip them all over, what's the first thing you do? Before you do the outside edges, you take the box and you flip it up so you can look at it. You do that so you know what you're going to be putting together. This is what you're aiming for. This is the pattern. This is the design. Paul is saying, Timothy, your life needs to be an example so that others can look at it and get a picture of how one is to live who follows Jesus Christ. Set an example. Be something that is worthwhile in following. Set an example. How does he do this? Well, he says in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity, in how he lives his life. He says, set an example in speech. So how you talk, right? What words come out of your mouth? How you interact with others? What you say or what you don't say? Do you guard your words? Are you quick to give praise and words of thanks and honor? Or are you quick to complain and slander and gossip? No, set an example in how you speak. Because out of the abundance of the heart, right, the mouth speaks. Set an example in how you speak and also in your conduct. This is your pattern of life. How you live, how you conduct yourself, what people say about you, how you seek to live among others. These are basic ideas here. You are to be a godly example, Timothy, in how you talk and in how you live. Right? Those are almost these all-encompassing ideas. Live and speak. Your conduct and your conversation need to be an example. They are an example. Timothy, as a pastor, as a man in a position of vocational ministry, you are an example whether you want to or not, Timothy, Paul is saying. And so you need to watch out. You need to set a proper example in speech and conduct, but then also in love, in faith, and in purity. These are the motivations here. Love, out of a self-sacrifice, a service for others, out of faith, out of trust in God. Do you demonstrate a self-sacrificial love? Do you demonstrate a trust-filled faith? And do you live a life that seeks to be pure and above reproach? Set an example in your conversation, in your conduct, and in your motivation, in how you live. But he says all this couched in this phrase of let no one despise you for your youth. Let no one despise you for your youth. When you hear the term youth, you probably think about the teens that are going to be speaking this evening and serving tonight. Some of you might think of youth and think of anybody else because you are maybe on the top edge and everyone else is youth. This term here is interesting. We hear the term youth and we think of a teenager, maybe a preteen. This term actually refers to an individual who is married and probably in their mid to late 30s. That's youth. So all of you in that age range, congratulations. You are a youth. I fit there. But it's this idea in the church family that Timothy was more than likely about that age, mid to late 30s, maybe early 40s. And in the Greek and Jewish mind, that was still a young person. That was still a youth because age and experience was valued. And there are a lot of benefits with age and experience. But that's no guarantee of holiness. And Paul is telling Timothy, you are to set an example. You are to live this way, and you're already at a disadvantage because you are looked down upon because of your age. But let no one despise you. Give no reason. Live your life in such a way in which your life is worth emulating. That's a challenge, Timothy, that you don't have to be old to set an example. And there are a lot of good examples of young individuals. But there are dangers on either end of the spectrum. Timothy is to do these things, live his life as an example, to teach these things, and not to give any reason for anyone to look down upon him. That word despise means to give no regard to overlook. It's this idea of, oh, that's cute, but we're not actually going to listen to you. Look at that little young man playing church. Isn't he so cute? Right? And maybe when I got here, you thought about that with me. Maybe some of you from time to time think that about me. Right? If you want to know how old I am, you can just look at the back of my calf. They write all the ages of all the contestants in the triathlon on one of their calves, because that's your age group. So I'm reminded consistently until it finally wears off that I'm 37 years old, right? It was kind of fun yesterday. I'm like, oh man, look at, I'm passing this person. There's only 24. And I told a few of you, I'm right there, heading south out of Bremer. I'm like, oh, I hear somebody coming. I'm expecting like a young, strapping young man. I hear this little voice, on your left? It's this older lady past me. She's 75! Once again, not going to be a world-class triathlete. But the fact that Paul says to Timothy, let no one despise you for your age. To live your life, to be sober-minded, to conduct yourself in a way that's an example. Whether you are 75, whether you're 37, whether you're 13 or 14, there are people looking to you to set an example. I see that. I see that in the lives of my own kids. Not to put the Livingston kids in the spotlight, but they are my kids' older siblings. And it's amazing what Caleb thinks about trucks is what Ezra thinks about trucks. So whether you're college age, those high schoolers might be looking up to you. Whether you're in high school, those junior hires are looking up to you. You know, older siblings, your younger siblings are looking up to you. We all set an example. Are you setting an example that's worthwhile to follow? Are you setting an example in which you are pointing them to Jesus? You're seeking to live a life that is proper in your speech and conduct and your motivation. Not that we do these things perfectly. We can't. But is our desire to honor God? And do you realize that people are looking at you? They're observing. They're watching. Set an example for others by how you live. By how you live. Secondly, Timothy is to set an example by how he teaches. By how he teaches. What the focus of his teaching is on. In verse 13, Paul says, until I come, devote yourself. This idea of devote is to immerse in. Like, this is what you are all about. This is what your entire focus is on. He says, devote yourself to this. To the public reading of Scripture. To exhortation and to teaching. All three of these things are in relation to the Word of God. The focus here is on the Word. Ministry is first and foremost about the Word of God. The Word of God that we see in the living Word of Jesus Christ revealed to us through the written Word of His Word. Give yourself to the public reading of Scripture. I'm thankful for Joel, who read Scripture this morning for us. Sometimes it's Pastor James or another gentleman. Sometimes we read it together. There's a purpose in that. We are to remind ourselves of the importance of the Word of God. Sometimes we read a few verses, sometimes a longer section. Hopefully you realize throughout our service, you hear the plain Word of God read. From the call to worship to our Scripture reading. Perhaps Pastor James shares something. Even by way of introduction to our text, I love to always just to read our passage to say, this is what we are listening to. To the public reading of Scripture. And then also to exhortation. This is the idea of, in a sense, preaching, of commanding, of laying out a motivation. Preaching the Word, exhorting one another to love and good works done through the Word. And then to teaching. The teaching or the explanation of the Word. We have that as we gather together. The public reading. We have the exhortation, the preaching, which is happening now. And we have teaching through Sunday school and other avenues. Paul tells Timothy to devote himself. As a pastor, the ministry of the Word is of utmost importance. And as we gather together, the ministry of the Word is of utmost importance. Timothy's ministry, how he teaches, is to be word focused, not on his own ideas, not on his own hobby horses or the thinking of the world or this or that or the latest and greatest, but rather the Word of God. He's to practice these things. He's to immerse himself in them. And Paul reminds him of that. He says in verse 16, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them. Here, Paul gives some encouragement to Timothy to remind him, this is the focus of your ministry. This is why God has called you into ministry. As we have laid hands on you, right? What does this mean? We're not sure exactly, this prophecy, this laying on of hands. But the point is this, a group of faithful, godly individuals recognized in Timothy a gifting of God for the purpose of the ministry of the word and service. And so they recognize that by laying hands on him. We might think of an ordination. I was ordained in 2013 up at Faith Baptist Church in Mason City, Iowa, by the church up there. And the deacons and the pastors, I remember in that evening service, laid their hands on me and ordained me to gospel ministry, as I was already in ministry, but it was this official recognition by the church and fellow churches. Pastor Stephen, who was here at the time, was part of that ordination council. He was actually the secretary who kept notes, and so I have that email of all the questions that were asked and all my answers. Email from Pastor Stephen. There is this recognition, Timothy, this is why God has called you into ministry, to minister the word. How you teach with courage, teach with motivation, remind yourself of why you're doing this. Verse 15 says, practice these things, meaning it's something you grow in, you're not going to be good at. Lord willing, I'm a better preacher today than I was when I first came here 4 years ago. Lord willing, I'm a better preacher today than I was when I first entered into ministry 15 years ago. Practice these things, give yourself to them. I love to read and to learn and to listen to other messages and think and hear new ideas and encouragement from God's word, to practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Again, setting an example. There's an author, his name is H.B. Charles Jr. He's a pastor, really appreciate his ministry and his books, and he has a book called On Pastoring. And in it, he's talking about the life of a pastor. And he says, as you get up to preach and proclaim the goodness of God and his word, you might look out at your congregation and think nobody's growing. He says, that's fine as long as you are. Meaning that as the word is proclaimed and as you pastor a church, if nobody else is growing in their faith, at least you need to be through your time in the word. Now, obviously, if nobody else is growing, there might be some other questions. But the point is that first and foremost, Timothy, you need to be growing in this ministry of this word, in this maturity in following after Jesus, so that all may see your progress as an example, to set an example that others may see your progress. It's a good reminder for us that sometimes we can't see our own progress. You can't see how far you've gotten. Until you talk to somebody else and they say, oh no, I've seen how you matured in these past 6 months or this past year, or remember a few years ago. Man, isn't that amazing what God has done? That our progress would be seen by all. So by how they teach, the content is to be on the word of God with faithfulness and courage as an example. And lastly, a good servant of Jesus Christ sets an example by how they live, how they teach, and how they persevere. How they persevere. Verse 16. Paul says this, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Again, he says, watch out for your own soul. He says that because there are certain temptations. There are certain things that a pastor can get caught up with, can worry too much about. And he could serve others to the neglect of his own soul, of giving and giving and giving without himself drinking from that cup of the goodness of God in Jesus Christ. He says, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. As you keep a close watch, you will keep yourself from stumbling, from being sidetracked, by being tricked, by being overcome with false teaching. There's a lot of these same ideas here of watching out for false teaching, of seeking to be faithful, of seeking to live for God and His glory. keep close watch on yourself and on the teaching. A good servant always seeks to inspect their own hearts and their own motivation. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I responding the way that I'm responding? Timothy is to watch out for his own soul and for what he says. Keeping a close watch on himself is another example to the believers. We are all called to keep a close watch on ourselves, to inspect our own hearts and our own motivations. And Paul tells Timothy, if you do this, persist in this. Think of all this language in here. He says, do not neglect, immerse, practice, persist, keep a close watch. All these ideas of straining, of it takes effort and energy. He says, persist in this, for by doing so, you will save yourself and your hearers. Now, Paul is not saying that Timothy can save people from their sins. That's very clear. But what Paul is saying here is that Timothy, keep a close watch on yourself and on your ministry. Because if you do this, you will be faithful in the proclamation of the gospel. And in the faithful proclamation of the gospel, people will be saved. People will grow. People will hear the word and respond. Though, Timothy, you can't save them. In a sense, they will be saved through you, through your ministry. Timothy is a tool in the hand of God to bring people to salvation. So, in a sense, God is using Timothy to save people. Be ready as a tool. Be ready and willing. Be in a good spot. Don't become corrupt. Don't become distracted. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. If you persist in being faithful, Timothy, you set a wonderful example. And through your faithfulness, people will come to know Jesus Christ and they will grow. But if you don't, if there is a failure, there will be damage to more than just yourself. Thinking of what Logan shared last week about those ministers of the gospel that have fallen into disgrace because of sin and wayward desire. Yes, their own lives may be ruined and their own ministries ruined, but the cause of Christ has a black mark on it now because they've said this and yet they've gone after these things. To keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Be ready and willing. Continue on. Persevere. Persist. If you continue faithfully, you will save yourself and your hearers. God will use you in this great plan of redemption. Timothy is to set an example by how he lives, how he teaches, and how he perseveres in his faith. Pastors have this expectation upon them, and it is a heavy load from time to time. But as this expectation is on us, Pastor James and I as pastors, we also understand that this is really things that every believer is to be striving after, to living in this pattern. May God give us the grace to do this, to persevere, to be faithful. Some simple application questions here for you as a congregation. As you think of this idea of setting an example, you need to ask yourself, who do you look to? Whose example are you following? Someone you know and can see their pattern of life? Or someone who is distant and you only see them through a screen? Not that you can't learn from people on YouTube. There's a lot of great content and a lot of faithful preachers on there. But you don't know how that individual interacts with their kids. You don't know how that individual interacts with their wife, or the church member, or the new visitor. You know me. You know Pastor James. You've seen us maybe at some of our best moments. Well, maybe me, not Pastor James. You know our foibles and our shortcomings. Neither of us are perfect. But you know how we love our families and our kids. You know the way in which we seek to conduct our lives. So I'm thankful for books and podcasts and YouTube. But don't necessarily follow those examples as a way of life. Look to somebody that you can see and know, and that you can converse with, and that you can challenge and encourage and be challenged and encouraged by. Who do you look to? Secondly, what do you look to? So we have the who, but now the what's. And the content of Paul's communication here is through the Word. And as Timothy is to promote the Word and the public reading of Scripture, and we hopefully you see that played out in our lives as pastors, but also your own. What do you look to? What is the focus as a good servant? We need to build that foundation on the Word of God. The Word is to be a focus in our lives. What do you look to? Who do you look to? Those two simple questions. As a good servant of Jesus Christ, set an example for those who believe by how they live, how they teach, and how they persevere through the ups and downs of life, through the good times and through the hard times. And may we all seek to live this way as an example to a world that may not understand, but to brothers and sisters who should, that we can set an example because of the example that has been set before us through Jesus Christ. Right? Think of Philippians 2 as Paul wrote, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Follow this example, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but willingly submitted himself to come, to take on human flesh, to serve, to die on a cross, to be raised again." That ultimate example that we are all called to follow. May we be good servants who set an example, pointing people through the Word to Jesus Christ by how we live, how we teach, and how we persevere in our faith. Father, we thank you this morning for your Word and the encouragement from it. And Lord, help us now as we seek to live our lives for your honor and your glory, Lord, that we would not be distracted by the things of the world. Lord, that we would submit ourselves to your Word. Lord, that in faith and love and purity, Lord, that we would seek to motivate our lives upon those things. Lord, help us be a church that can set an example by how we live. Lord, we love you. We pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.